from Hosea 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they will call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adma? How can I make you like Zebulun? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord.
Good morning. This is God. And I'm here to talk to you this morning about my son. No, not my son Jesus. I'm going to mention him a little bit later. I want to talk to you this morning about my other son, Israel. My relationship with Israel started way back in the book of Genesis. I realized that the curse of sin was starting to ruin my good creation. So I called a good righteous man named Abraham, and I made a promise to him. I told him that if he would go where I called him to go, then I would give him a land, I would make his name great, and I would make him into a people. And through this people, I would bring blessing to this cursed creation. Well, Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these 12, through a certain set of events, ended up in Egypt with their families. And there in Egypt, these families, they started to grow, started to become a big group of people, started to become known as the 12 tribes of Jacob, or I renamed them the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, while they were in Egypt, the people started to get so big that the ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh, he started to get nervous about them, thinking that they would take over. And so to assert his control, he enslaved this group of people. And this happened for several years. And so the people started crying out to me, asking me to come and to help them and to deliver them. And it was at that point that I made the decision that I was going to adopt Israel as my son. Now, some of you, I know, have adopted children before, and you know that there is a process involved when you're going to adopt a child. And so let me tell you about my process. First, I had to call a deliverer named Moses, and I told Moses that I wanted him to go to Egypt, to go to that ruler, Pharaoh, and tell him in no uncertain terms that he needed to let my people go or he's going to be punished. Moses did, but Pharaoh didn't let him go. So I brought 10 plagues upon Egypt. And each plague was more severe than the last until the final plague, which was the death of the firstborn son. And after that, Pharaoh finally relented and my people were able to go free. And when Israel was able to leave Egypt and I was able to be with Israel, I was so happy. Because now Israel was mine. Israel was free to be my son. I had adopted him. I felt maybe similar to all these wonderful parents who were up on the stage just a moment ago, feeling that sense of pride and joy and sense of responsibility, knowing this is my child. It's my child. I don't know what you did when you had your first child, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to take my son, Israel, and I wanted to take him to a special place. And I wanted to make a promise to him. And so I took Israel and I took him to this place called Mount Sinai. And there, Israel and I had a talk. And I told Israel about who I was. I gave Israel some instruction on how to live. You call it the Ten Commandments. I knew Israel as he grew that he would need guidance on how to live day to day. And so I gave him instructions. But most of all, I told Israel that I'm always going to be there for you. That you're my son, and I'm your father, and I'm going to watch over you. And I told Israel, I have a gift for you. And that gift is a land in which you can live and you can settle. You might say that what I told Israel is I made a covenant with Israel. I promised that I would be Israel's father and Israel would be my son. Oh, those early days as Israel was growing up, they were a challenge. You young parents know this. Oh, we had some challenging times. There was that time when Israel just wouldn't stop crying. No matter what I do, just couldn't stop crying, and I had to come and be tender with Israel. There was that time when Israel got sick really bad with the plague, had to come and heal Israel. There was that time when Israel became afraid, got scared, had to come and comfort Israel. Every little child goes through experiences like that. And through it all, I just tried to be a gentle father. I just tried to lead Israel through the wilderness with tenderness and love. I tried to always be there. I tried to always be there supporting and helping Israel whenever Israel needed anything. And so when Israel got hungry, I provided manna from heaven. And when Israel was thirsty, I provided water from the rock. And when Israel was threatened by an enemy, I protected Israel from that enemy. I just always was there to lead Israel. I loved my son, and I was proud of my son. And eventually we got to the land that I promised. And some of you are fathers out there, and there's just something about when your son gets a little bit older that you want to give your son something. Because you're proud of him. He's matured, he's come of age, and you want to let him know that you're happy for him and you're pleased with him. And that's the way I felt as I gave the land to Israel. And Israel walked into this land that I'd given him and began to settle there. I just was so pleased at that moment. Israel had matured and I was proud. In those first few years that Israel was in the land, Israel grew and gained wealth, influence. Israel distinguished himself from all the other peers around him. Actually, people were coming to Israel and asking Israel for advice. I was a proud papa then. Israel was doing so well. And then something happened. I don't know if I can quite explain it, but Israel's attitude changed. He started getting cocky. He started acting like he knew everything all of a sudden. He started hanging around friends who were up to no good. Friends like Egypt and Canaan and Syria and Assyria. And I tried to tell him, you don't need to be hanging around those guys. They're just going to have a negative influence on you. But he didn't listen. He actually started to think that I was no good for him. He actually started to think that my guidance and my instruction was meant to restrict him from having a good time. And I would sit down with Israel and I would explain, son, you're my boy. I would never do anything to harm you. I would never tell you anything that's bad advice. Everything that I would instruct you, it's always for your good. I love you. You're my son. Israel didn't listen. In fact, the more that I talked, the worse that it got. And some of you as parents, you know that as your children get older, there comes a time where you just have to let your children go. Even if you know they're making wrong decisions, even if you know they're heading down the wrong path, you have to let them make their own choice and do their own life. And so I did. I let Israel go. Boy, when I did that, Israel just went headlong into bad decisions. Israel just started chasing women. Any woman that was attractive, Israel was going after her. Israel lost any sort of decency and respect and dignity. Israel got drunk all the time. It was always in a bad attitude and had a bad frame of mind. I was just embarrassed of Israel. I literally was embarrassed that Israel was my son. Israel got involved in addictions, going to inappropriate places, doing inappropriate things. I couldn't believe it. I was so mad, so frustrated that my son was doing this to me. And some of you parents, maybe you've been at this point before, but you know at some point you just have to say, enough. I don't want any part of what you're doing because what you're doing is so far from what I originally planned for you. And so I called Israel with the help of my servant Hosea. And Israel and I had a talk. And I told Israel, I was direct, and I said, listen, I do not agree with the things that you're doing. I do not agree with your decisions. And so I'm done. Don't try to talk to me because I'm not going to hear it. Don't try to ask for anything because I'm not going to give it. Don't even try to apologize to me because I'm not buying it anymore. I'm done. I'm done. So angry. And yet I was conflicted. Because this is my son. I mean, this is my boy. I mean, this is the one that I carried in my arms. I mean, this is my child who I taught how to walk. I mean, this is the son who I was up at midnight feeding. This was the boy that I went to all of his programs and I was supporting all of his activities. I mean, this is my son we're talking about. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to feel. It was like one moment I wanted to punch Israel in the face and the next moment I wanted to hug Israel and say, everything's okay. One moment I was so angry with Israel I could spit, and the next moment I just wanted to burst into tears. My heart. It was like that. It was torn apart. I didn't know what to do. I mean, what would you do? I mean, I can't treat Israel like Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that story from the book of Genesis? Two cities that were way far away from what I wanted them to be. And I told them, I said, if you don't turn back, there's going to be punishment. They didn't turn back, and there was punishment. But I can't treat Israel like Sodom and Gomorrah. Israel's my son. Israel's the one I adopted. Israel's the one that I have saved and I have healed and I have blessed over and over again. I can't treat Israel like that. What should I do? So I thought about it. And I mulled it over in my mind for a long time. And I came to this conclusion. I came to the conclusion that Israel is going to be punished for their bad, for his bad behavior. And Israel was going to lose the gift that I had given Israel, the gift of the land. But I decided that the final word for me as a father to my son was not going to be punishment. Instead, the final word from this father to his son was going to be grace. And so I called Israel up. And Israel didn't really want to talk to me, frankly, because he was hurt by my last conversation. But I said, Israel, I want to talk to you. I said, Israel, you've hurt me. The way you've been living, your behavior, you have hurt me deeply, and you're going to be punished for it. I'm going to take back the land. You're going to lose that gift. And I said, Israel, I want you to hear what I'm going to say next, though. Because I'm going to make a new promise to you. I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you a new spirit to help you walk in my ways. And I'm going to renew you because you're my son. And I'm your father. And I'm not giving up on my son. Here's where I get to talk about my other son. Because a few years later, I sent my son Jesus. Jesus is faithful and righteous and perfect in all ways. And I sent Jesus to earth. And his mission was to restore my son Israel. His mission was to come to Israel and to teach him, to try to explain things to him again, to walk with him, to be what you might call an elder brother to Israel. His job was to heal Israel, to help put Israel back together, and maybe one way of putting it, to save Israel. The mission was a costly mission because my son Jesus ended up giving his life for Israel and for all of my sons and daughters. But his mission was successful because I raised Jesus up from the dead and I placed him at my right hand. And I made him Lord over all of creation. And through my son, Jesus, Israel was restored. Israel was restored. That Israel was brought back together. I was able to make a new promise, a new covenant with restored Israel. That I would be Israel's father. Israel would be my son. I gave Israel a new gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. To be inside of Israel and to help Israel to walk in my ways. And I charged Israel. I charged Israel to fulfill that original plan all the way back from Genesis chapter 12 that through Israel there would be a light to the world of blessing. And through this whole restoration process, Israel got a new nickname. You might have heard of this nickname. People call Israel now the church. And I love the church. The church has had its ups and it's had its downs. But the church is my son. And I love my son. And I'm not giving up on the church. And I'm here to tell you this story because it could be that your story is very similar. to Israel's story. All of you here are my sons and daughters. And maybe you've had time in your life where you have wandered away and you have gone against my ways and my commands. And if you have, I want you to know it's hurt me very deeply. It's angered me, and I've been very frustrated. But I want you also to hear me too, that the final word that I'm going to give to you is not punishment. The final word that I'm going to give to you is grace. An invitation to be restored. An invitation to allow my son Jesus to help put you back together so that through him and through my spirit, you can walk a new way and be a part of the church. It all begins in the waters behind that screen back there, in the waters of baptism. That's where you are renewed. That's where you are made new. That's where my spirit comes inside of you. That's where you begin a new walk. And if you're ready to do that, I would love to welcome you into my family and experience renewal. In just a moment, we're going to have some men who are going to spread around this auditorium, and I want you to know that I've anointed these men to be the leaders of this community. And I've anointed them that if you need help, if you need encouragement, if you need strength, if you're wandering away, to go to these men and let them help you and let them encourage you and let them pray for you. And so we're going to stand and sing, and if there's any way that I can help you or any way that these men can help you, if you want to be restored, please come now as together we stand and sing.